Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston sports talk for insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
That's Vince McMahon right there. Back in 2001, when the XFL first made its way into the public domain, into the public eye. 1 year later, they were done, they were gone, and like everything else in the modern day world, the XFL has been rebooted. They're coming back. It's been in the works for a year and a half. This week, we got the team logos, the definitions, the reasons behind those logos, what they mean. And there's an eight-team league that kicks off in February. We're actually going to open the show here tonight talking about the XFL. We don't do it for the whole show, but it's something I think worthy of discussion, if only because we are supposed to be this incredibly rabid fan base here. We are supposed to be a fan base that can't get enough of our teams. We're supposed to be a fan base that sticks with our teams, win, lose, or draw, right? And we take a certain amount of pride in that here in Boston. And I'm wondering if the XFL experiment works this time with eight teams going forth in year one. If they would ever expand the league, I mean, I'm sure financially, if this league financially makes it, if teams are making money, it would really be the first time in forever that one of these secondary leagues made it and was successful in the United States. But if they are able to find a way, I mean, let's just hypothetically say they get Johnny Manziel. Let's say that they bring in Tim Tebow. Now, they don't have these guys yet, but these are name brand guys, guys with name recognition. Let's say hypothetically that, you know, Rob Gronkowski signs some kind of a dual deal with the XFL, and that's the announcement that he makes next week, where he's going to play tight end and he's also going to wrestle. Who knows? But if Vince McMahon is able to make this thing successful, if he's able to make this league viable this time around, and expansion is on the horizon at some point, I need to know from you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, would you support an XFL team here in Boston? Or would you consider it a clown show? Would you consider it a sideshow? Especially compared to what we've gotten used to with the New England Patriots, who, by the way, lead Carolina 7-3 with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Of course, we'll get into exhibition game number three coming up a little bit later on the program. Until then, opening the show talking about the XFL as they made news this week with the unveiling of their team logos. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Late Night. I'm excited to be back here in my old time slot. I apologize. Haven't been around all that much lately. Been traveling unbelievably for work in the last couple of weeks, and it's going to continue. Next week, I'll barely be here as well. Once I get through next week, you'll hear more of me back here on WEI. Got to make it through next week, though. I leave Sunday, don't get back until Friday, going to New Orleans with five of my favorite coworkers for the longest trade show of the year. By day three, we want to murder each other. By day five, we're not talking to each other. Mind you, we all get along really well. Day one is always fun. We get there, we set up, we're excited. These things are always at pretty cool destinations, be it LA, be it San Diego, be it Las Vegas this time, New Orleans, Orlando, Miami. You name the cool location, that's where these places generally are. And we all go there, we get a good attitude, a smile on our face, company credit card in our wallet. We get there, we set up, we eat well, we play well. By day two, one or two people, usually me, I'm usually one of the first. When there's talk about going out that night, by day two, I'm like, kind of on the fence. Do I really want to be with these people any longer? Do I want to hang out with these guys right now? They're starting to annoy me. I just spent 10 hours in a trade show booth with you. I don't know if I want to spend the next 4 hours with you. But we generally man up and sort of all get together and stay together by day two. By day three, forget about it. We are up each other's asses, on each other's nerves, eager to go home. And by the day five, I'm surprised more people haven't quit on day five of these shows. It's just simply too long. So I go to New Orleans next week. Following next week, I'll be back here doing more stuff with you guys, be it Mud at Night, be it Late Night, whatever these guys see fit. I will be the Brock Holt of WEEI. Happy to do whatever shows they want. It just sucks that over the last couple of weeks, haven't been able to get the sort of airtime that I'm accustomed to getting and that you guys are accustomed to me getting. It sucks not to be able to get my feelings out. This place is therapeutic for me. I've said that 1,000 times. And I'm glad that the travel season, while it does not come to a close for me, it does get much easier to handle at the conclusion of next week's show. So I'm excited for that as well. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And before we get too deep into this XFL conversation, and by the way, it's more of a broad spectrum conversation, because whether it's the XFL, whether it's the WNBA, whether it's the AFL, the football league that folded this year, you know, whether it's the Maine Red Claws and some sort of an affiliate coming down to Boston, whatever it may be, I guess the conversation can go in multiple directions. My only point here is, for a fan base that prides themselves on being so rabid and can't get enough of our teams, is there room in Boston for another team? Is there room in Boston for a secondary professional league? Is there room in Boston for an XFL team? Is there an audience for an XFL team? And I thought of this today, by the way, because of what happened at Fenway Park. I mean, the Red Sox, sure, you know, they played a 12-minute game today. Awesome. They won. Great. Walk off. Exciting. Whatever. But tickets were $5. Kids got in free. These are the sort of promotions that you would get once the newness of the XFL wears off and it just becomes another product that the fan needs to buy, or the fan needs to say, you know what, I'm not interested in buying you. It becomes more of a minor league baseball situation where they run these promotions. They run the buy one, get one free, the dollar hot dog night, the $2 beer nights. They do that. They're going to have to do things like that in order to thrive and in order to survive. So before you jump down my throat and say, no, you know, we would never support an XFL team here in Boston, think about that for a minute. Think about the cost of going to Gillette. Think about the cost of going to Fenway. Think about the cost of going to the Garden versus the cost of potentially going to an XFL game versus the cost of potentially going to a WNBA game. Because if you're a middle-class citizen that wants to take your kids to a fun event, a sporting event in the city, and you can't afford the big boy leagues, there's nothing wrong with checking out a Paw Sox game right now. There's nothing wrong with going to a Lowell Spinners game right now. The Can-Am Baseball League, when they're in Lynn, and people go, and they've been around for a long time, playing at Fraser Field, and they're successful. So a lot of people, when I brought this up in the office earlier, when I brought this up to my group of friends yesterday, you know, thinking about the impending game at Fenway Park today, thinking about the announcement of the XFL logos and what those logos mean, and you know, the eight teams and all the excitement around the XFL right now, I started talking about this within my circle of friends, knowing that I was going to do this show tonight, and most of them to a man said that they're not interested. They wouldn't watch, they wouldn't support, and they wouldn't have any room in their lives for another football league here in Boston. But I think we could pull it off. I really do. I am of the mind that if the XFL works, and if there is expansion on the horizon, Boston should be in the mix. Boston should absolutely be in the mix for an XFL team. We're supposed to be a world-class city. We're supposed to be the type of city that can support something like this. So whether it's the XFL, you know, back 20 years ago, there was talk, you know, about potentially putting a National League baseball team here in Boston. Would we support something like that? I mean, my mind is absolutely yes. You have all these other places that have got multiple teams and professional leagues. Look, how many NBA teams does California have? It's like they have a half a dozen teams. Like, why not? So if we're supposed to be a world-class city, then why the hell wouldn't we support an expansion XFL team here in Boston at some point in the, I don't know, not so distant future? So we'll get into that here on Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. But I would be remiss if I didn't just speak for a couple of minutes about the privilege that I had over the last couple of days. Growing up listening to WEI for the last 20 years, the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon has been a part of that. It's been a part of that experience. It's been a part of being a fan of the radio station before I got hired here 3 years ago. And for my first couple of years here, I really didn't get to participate. I didn't get to be a part of anything that had to do with the telethon. Year one, I was sort of on the fence here. I wasn't sure what my employment status was. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. So I sort of would just hide until they told me to come into the studio and do a show. I didn't want anybody to realize just how much I sucked. So I figured at that point, if I just sort of lay low and don't communicate openly with Joey, don't communicate openly with Chris Curtis, you know, hopefully Ken Laird doesn't know who I am, and I'm just coming in and doing late night when they tell me to do it, maybe I can fly under the radar long enough to keep a job for a little while. So that was my plan in year one. And it worked, because in year two, I was still here. Unfortunately, in year two, a year ago, right now, my dad was in the throes of his cancer, right? And it was bad, and I was his primary caretaker, and there was just no room in my life to do anything extra at that point. But you guys all know I lost my dad in February because of the cancer. So this year, I wanted to make a point to participate wherever they saw fit for the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. And even if it was the tiniest contribution, I was proud to be able to be a part of it. And to get a firsthand look. I mean, it's one thing to listen on the radio. It's another thing to watch it on NESN. But to get a firsthand look at some of the sick patients that were there over at Fenway Park. These kids. I'm talking about toddlers. I'm talking about young kids. I'm talking about young men and young women. People that are just awe-inspiring through their strength. These parents of these young children, just with a smile on their face, able to get up and face the damn day. And you think about your own kids, and you think about, you know, how sick you feel on the inside when your kid breaks a bone, or that disgusting feeling you have in your body when something is going poorly in your kid's life, and you want so desperately to be able to fix it, but you can't do it. There's nothing you can do at certain points in time, right? We all have that feeling as parents. It doesn't necessarily need to be cancer. We know what it feels like to have your kid need some sort of help, some sort of intervention, and you have no power to be able to help your kid. Well, imagine having that feeling every day for what seems like an eternity, and that's what the strength of these parents, that's what I'm talking about here, right? These parents that were there with their children, these parents that wake up every day knowing that their kids have been stricken with cancer, and they've got to face things that no adult should have to face in life, yet these toddlers, these children, these teenagers, these tweens, these young men and young women have to get up and face the day every day and fight this thing. And again, it's one thing to hear it on the radio, and it's certainly powerful. It is another thing to watch it on NESN. It is certainly powerful. It's another thing entirely to be there and to see it happening in front of your eyes. And I got to do that this week, and I feel privileged to have had the opportunity. So Tuesday, I hopped on the last hour with Mutt from 11 to 12, 11 to midnight, before Mutt signed off for the night. And got to talk about my dad a little bit and talk about the Jimmy Fund Telethon. We talked some sports as well. It was awesome. You know, sitting there with Mutt and with Joe Castiglione and just going back and forth about it. That was an incredible experience. And I thank Mutt for allowing me to come in and inviting me to come in and be a part of that. And then, as if that wasn't awesome enough, the next day I got to be a volunteer. So before I went to Candyland for the day, I went to Fenway Park. So I had a shift that went from 8 a.m. To 10 a.m. Got off the air the previous night at midnight, got home a little after 1, got up at 5 and got to Fenway. And it was awesome. And anytime I felt the least bit tired from only getting a few hours of sleep, I would just look over at this toddler that had the biggest smile on his face. It was just awesome. And he was sick. It was clearly he was there to experience this whole thing. He was there to be a part of the telethon, and he had a big smile on his face, and he's running around, and he's sort of just being a toddler. I'm not even sure if he understood just how sick he was. And to be able to sit there, answer phones, talk to you people. And by the way, you guys were awesome. You guys were absolutely awesome. If you called into the telethon, there's a chance they talk to me, and it was fun. Everybody that I talked to had a story to tell. Everybody that I talked to on the phone wanted to share something about cancer, something that happened to them personally, whether it was them, their husband, their son, their daughter, their mother, their father. Everybody had a story. And that's what struck me about the 2 hours that I spent there answering your phone calls and talking to you people. It goes so far beyond just picking up the phone, taking a credit card, and taking down your $50, your $100, your $200 donation. While those were awesome to get, and I'm grateful for every penny that WEI and NESN, Arbella Insurance, was able to raise throughout the telethon, what was even more awe-inspiring to me, and what was even something that really, really got my attention, was that we had this script, right? So I'm a radio guy. I'm a salesman. So between the two, I am very comfortable talking. It, you know, in a perfect world, if I had my way, I would spend my life, if not on the radio full time, I've got this vision in my head of being a motivational speaker, somebody that would come into an office setting and just pick up a microphone and get people excited to be at work, right? That's what I would like to do. That is my long-term goal. So I'm comfortable in any setting, talking to anybody in the public eye. It doesn't make a difference to me if there's 5 people in front of me or 5,000 people in front of me. I've always been comfortable in that environment. So you pick up the phone and I you know, they give you a script and it says, "Hi, my name is Patrick Gilroy. Thanks for calling the Art Bella Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Who am I speaking to today?" And they want you to go through this script line by line by line. But what I noticed was within 10 seconds of every call, you'll find yourself off script. You make your key points, the sponsors get their plug, and you wind up getting the credit card information, right? Those are the important things. However, every one of you that called, and I'm sure there was 12 volunteers on the phones doing two-hour stints. So when we got there, we were the second volunteer group. And at 10 a.m., the third volunteer group came on. At noontime, the next volunteer group came on. And I'm sure this experience was shared by all of the volunteers. It's not just a Gilroy experience. And that makes it that much more remarkable. But everybody that called in, everybody that felt motivated to pick up the phone and call in, they were doing more than just donating money. They were A, making a difference, and B, it was something that was therapeutic and cathartic for them as well. Because you could tell they wanted to tell their story, or tell the story of their husband, tell the story of their wife, tell the story of their mother, their father, their son, their daughter, their grandparents, whoever it may be, their friend. Everybody had a story to tell. And you leave there at 10 in the morning shaking your head. At least I did. Thinking to myself, okay, I talked to 30 people in the last 2 hours. Every single one of them was personally touched by cancer. Some of them were cancer patients themselves. Others had lost a husband or a wife. Others were grateful that a husband or a wife or a kid survived cancer. And this was their way of saying thank you. Making that donation, right? So you realize just how prevalent it is. And you realize just how lucky the people that haven't been touched by it are. And here's the overall message that I hope everybody gets. And I won't spend the whole show talking about this because, you know, we've done this for the last 48 hours here. But there's one overwhelming point that I hope I can really drill into each and every one of you as you're sitting here listening to Late Night here tonight. That just because the telethon's over doesn't mean that the giving has to end. You don't have to give through WEEI. Sure, do we want the Arbella Insurance, Nesson, WEEI radio telethon to have huge numbers? Of course we do. Of course we do. But that doesn't, just because you don't donate within that 48-hour window, just because you don't participate within that 48-hour window, does not mean that the problem goes away when the telethon goes away. So if at some point in the next day, 2 days, 3 days, month, 2 months, 3 months, 10 years, if at some point you wake up and you find yourself grateful that your life, your family has not been touched by cancer, and you are sort of want to play the odds and you say, you know what, we've been incredibly lucky. Let's give a little something here to give praise because we've been so lucky. Fine. By all means, if that's what motivates you to do it, pick up the phone, go online, make a donation. Make a donation. It doesn't have to be during the telethon. And don't tell me and don't tell yourself you'll just wait for next year. If you say to yourself you'll wait till next year, do it now. Let me tell you something. Everything can change in a year. If I was sitting here 2 years ago, so we're sitting here September, August, 2017. My father was healthy. My father was happy. My father was excited for the fall because football season was coming. He was excited for playoff baseball. He was excited because I was excited that the Celtics were coming. He would come to my house 3-4 times a week. I would be at his house 3-4 times a week. He was healthy enough to babysit my then six-year-old kid and run around with him in the backyard. That was 2 years ago. No idea that his time on the planet was coming to an end, no idea that an illness was on the horizon, and no idea that a couple years from then, he wouldn't be around. Well, last year, so that's 2 years ago, last year, 1 year ago, he was sick. However, he was still hopeful. The news was not good at that time. The cancer diagnosis was not the one that we were looking for. However, the people at the Jimmy Fund, the people at Dana-Farber, I got to tell you, once again, they came through. So we got the initial diagnosis from Mass General, the initial treatments at Mass General. They did the best they could. The news was not good. As a loving son, what did I do? I did not want to accept the answer that was given, so I picked up the phone. And I called Joey Zerbano. And I said, Joey, I know you have a great relationship with Dana-Farber. Who do you know? Can you get me an in? I need to get my dad seen. And within 24 hours, I had a phone number. I had multiple contacts to call. And within 48 hours, my dad and I were in at Dana-Farber, and he was being seen by the best of the best of the best in the world. And again, the diagnosis not good. The projection was not good. The prognosis was not good. So if you tell yourself you're going to wait a year, wait until next year's telethon, you're making a mistake. Because again, a lot can change in a year. 2 years ago, happy, healthy, looking forward to the future. Last year, bad, bad news, not once but twice, in the throes of cancer, in the throes of radiation, in the throes of chemotherapy, all well knowing that he's had two world-class doctors at two world-class hospitals tell him he has less than a year to live. And we were trying to buck the odds at that point. Still hopeful, but really not as hopeful as you would think. Not as hopeful as we would like to have been, because the reality of the situation was taking over. And oh, by the way, cancer isn't just something that's experienced by the patient. Look at the patient's family. Look at me. Look at my sister. We all of a sudden have families of our own. We all of a sudden have careers of our own. And we got thrown into this full time as well. And as his health declined, our presence, you know, around him increased to the point where by the last few months, he needed somebody with him at all times. And he wasn't going to go live at a hospital. He wasn't going to go live at a nursing home. We weren't going to allow that. So we found a way to not sleep and to stay with him. But we lost him in February. You guys know that. I've told the story on the air. We lost him in February. And my mother's probably listening now, and she's probably crying. And you know, I'm sorry, Mom, but it is what it is. It's worth telling the story. So, you know, next year rolls around, and you don't know what's going to happen. Because a year ago, he was in the throes of therapy. 2 years ago, he was healthy. And then he was gone. Then he was just gone. So again, you know, if you listen to the telethon, and the telethon came to an end, and you're one of those people, and I know that there's a lot of people out there like this, and hell, I was one of these people up until it touched me and touched my life, right? Because we all procrastinate in life. We all do. I fought with my daughter today about it. She has 10 days left of summer vacation. She must finish her summer reading, and I know she's going to wait until the last two damn days, and it's going to be panic city in my house. And I'm begging her, stop procrastinating. Get in your damn room and read your damn book. This shouldn't be a fight. Right? But we all, it's human nature to procrastinate. Don't do it. If you're lucky enough right now where procrastination is an option because everybody's healthy, everybody's happy, and this is not something on your radar, I'm telling you, it's going to be. If it isn't on your radar today, unfortunately, the data and the numbers tell us all that it will be at some point in the future. So do yourself a favor. Count your blessings and make that donation, because your donation may go to the cure of whatever cancer you get down the line. Whatever cancer your parents get, your children get, your brother gets, your sister gets, your lover gets, your boyfriend gets, your girlfriend gets. We don't know what's going to come. We don't. We don't know if we're going to be stricken with it, and we don't know what cures are on the horizon. But what we do know is that more than likely, each and every one of us are going to get touched by it. And more than likely, there's going to be advanced research and new treatments and cures down the road. But we also know that without the donations of people like you and without telethons like the one that we just put on here, unfortunately, those therapies will take longer to make it to the public. Therapies that are close will remain close but oh so far away, because money, like everything else, money drives this as well. And without money, you don't have the research, and without the research, unfortunately, you don't get the cures, you don't get the therapies, you don't get the life-extending medicines and all that stuff that we so desperately, desperately need as human beings. That's what we need. So thanks to everybody that participated. Thanks to Mutt for allowing me to tell this story on Mutt at Night a couple of nights ago. Thanks to Joey for allowing me to come in and volunteer and make a little bit of a difference yesterday. It was a type of experience that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. I saw things, I heard things, I participated in things that are just going to stick with me. And I hope that I can effectively communicate that to you guys over the air. Because again, without you guys, the telethon is nothing. Without you guys, these therapies, these cures, these treatments, they never make their way from the research laboratory to the local pharmacy. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, it's late night. Had to get that out of the way. Look, when we come back, I do want to get back into this XFL stuff. The XFL is what? So we're into almost September. So September, October, November, December, January, February. We're 5-6 months away from XFL football. We are 4.5 months away from training camp for the XFL. And the XFL is going to kick off the week following the Super Bowl. And while you might not care all that much right now about the XFL, just a couple of questions as we're going to start hearing more and more and more about this league in the coming months, as it is essentially on the horizon. A, we know that there's 8 teams spread out throughout the country. I'll tell you who those 8 teams are coming up on late night tonight. But A, as football fans in New England, where we have been spoiled by world-class football for the last 20 years, will we watch the XFL? Will you watch the XFL? Are you eager and excited to watch the XFL? But most importantly, if Vince McMahon is able to pull this damn thing off and make it successful this time around, if he's able to make this a financially successful venture, and 3 or 4 years from now he's talking about expansion, would you want and would you support an XFL team here in Boston? Is there room for a secondary football team in our sort of collection of teams here in New England? I need to hear it from you guys, because I think there is. I think that the XFL could potentially thrive in this environment, but I feel like I am one of the few. I feel like I am a lonely man on an island, screaming and disappointed that Boston didn't get an XFL team to start, and I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that eventually an XFL team will find its way to Boston. So we'll talk about that and a whole hell of a lot more with you guys right here on Sports Radio WEI.
It's more of Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think if anything that he has proven over time is that you learn from failure much more than you learn from success. He's gone at this once and it didn't work out. I think he learned a ton from that. And I think he's been chomping at the bit for the time to be right to do it again. I feel like he believes that the time is right now. I think he's learned from that success, and certainly I wouldn't bet against him.
Do you think the time is right because he's seen cracks in the NFL?
I think the time is right in the world. I think the time is right on a global basis, mm-hmm. with social media, the ability to get it out on a digital level. Instead of playing catch up to that, you're starting it fresh with that. I think the time is right in a lot of ways.
It's WWE legend Triple H right there. That's about all I know about Triple H. Didn't even know he was a wrestler. You said Triple H is, we have some sound on him talking about the XFL. So I quickly up here on Twitter just typed in Triple H XFL, and I learned all about Triple H and his, I guess, wrestling career. Are you a wrestling guy, Nick?
I used to be.
Like, how old were you when you were wrestling? Like a kid or up until your teenage years?
I was probably like 10 when I stopped watching it.
Okay, so you at least gave it up when you realized that, hey, this isn't all that real, right? Okay.
Yes.
That's the part of it I don't understand. And I've been to a couple of events when they were here in Boston. One I covered professionally, and one I went as sort of a joke with a friend and didn't pay any attention. But they bang out the Garden. I mean, they bang it out, and I'm not talking about banging it out with, you know, my 8-year-old. We're talking about adults, teenagers, adults, men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they get into it. They got signs, they're drinking, they get into it. Like, it's essentially going, from what I understand, I'm not a wrestling expert, but isn't it the same as watching a play? Or isn't it all scripted? Or is there some of it that isn't scripted and it's real? Do you know this, Nick? I need to know if it's really all fake or if there's fake components, but there's some realness to it as well.
From what I understand is a lot of it's scripted, but they can change some stuff on the fly. That's what I gather.
You know. Okay. So, yeah, if anybody can sort of define that for me, you have a spot here on Late Night. But really, I mean, Triple H was right. So back in 2001, the XFL tried this thing and it didn't work. They were out of business in a year. People were surprised. And, you know, there are some innovations that the XFL really tried and were the first ones to have the stones to try, really, way back in the day. And the NFL has picked up on some of those innovations. The lists are out there on the internet. There's a dozen or so massive media and technology type of inventions that the XFL came up with that the NFL wound up adopting. So it did serve a purpose to help grow the game of football overall. It wasn't a complete and total failure in that regard. But when you're talking about secondary talent and secondary players, you're talking about guys, essentially, if you're playing in the XFL, if you're playing in the AFL, whatever the heck that thing was that folded a couple of months ago, if you're playing in one of these secondary basketball leagues, if you're playing in the D League or now the G League, if you're playing in that, chances are you're playing in it because you're not good enough to play in the NBA. If you're playing in the XFL, chances are you're playing in the XFL because you're not good enough to play in the NFL, or at least play in the NFL at a level that will get you onto a roster consistently. Where in the XFL, maybe you'll have an opportunity to start and be a bit of a bigger star. So the question becomes, would we support a team here in Boston? There was a lot of stuff on Twitter a couple days ago when the XFL came out yesterday and essentially, you know, showed us their logos. And with each logo and team name came the reasoning behind that team name, right? And they make a big deal out of it, sort of like it's a cross, a combo between wrestling and the NFL. And I think that's what they're going for. But there was a lot of sort of pushback. If you just type in the search bar on Twitter, XFL Boston, there's hundreds of tweets from Bostonians that are angry that Boston and New England didn't get a team. Fitzy, the guy from the morning show, from the Greg Hill show, he's one of them. Count him as somebody that thinks New England not only could support a team, but a team could thrive here in New England. And I think that as well. But it doesn't make a difference what I think. It doesn't make a difference what Fitzy thinks. The question is, what do you guys think? Is there room in Boston? Is there room in New England for an XFL franchise? Or would it just be a one and done? Would we get one here, and within 12 months of its inception, would it go away? So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Room for you guys, as always, at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's go to Blair. Blair's in Maine. Blair, you're first up here on Late Night. What's up, man?
Thank you, my man. You're my best friend. I really like you. So do I with the PM Jeb guys. I went up to Auburn, Maine, never been up there. It's such a great town. The Auburn, Maine golf course, it's called, what was it called? It's the greatest golf course out there in Maine, I think. Martindale Country Club in Auburn, Maine. I don't know if you ever been to it.
No, but did you go up there with the PM Jab guys?
Yeah, PM Jab guys were there today at 3 to 7, but they were there all day, 9 to 6.
That's great.
It was three to six, but they were really there from 9 to 6. So put it out there for all the guys that golfed today for the PM Jab guys golfing thing. But it was really for the Patriots and Red Sox golfing tournament they had there. And man, the guys that I met today, I have never met, that hear me almost every day on the radio, definitely on the PM Jab, but they max my time on the AM Jab, so I'm only on there 3 days a week most of the time.
Yeah.
So
did you play?
Well, were cool.
Did you golf?
I met a guy from Portland, Oregon.
Wow. But did you get to golf, or were you just sort of hanging out and talking to the guys?
I was hanging out, but next year I was asked by a guy that's gonna golf next year, and he's like, okay, can you drive? Can you be a caddy for me? Can you drive my cart next year for this same tournament? I was like, dude, I'm stoked.
That's awesome.
I said, yeah, totally. Hell yes.
Good for you, Blair. That's awesome.
Freaking yes.
Sounds like you had a good day.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guys I met were cool. One guy I met was totally cool. I talked to him about how I'm going to the Stanford football game against Oregon. He's going to Washington versus Oregon. And he went last year, and he sat like almost in the front row of Oregon at home against who is it? Oregon against, I don't know who. It was a great game, he told me. And the guy was totally cool. And he had a TB12 hat on.
Good.
When he was at the tournament today, the golf tournament I was at.
That's great stuff.
I was there, when I got there, and a guy that I met from Portland, Oregon, actually had a TB12 hat on. And he says he has a TB12, but the when Tom Brady, he came out with the like championship 6 t-shirt or whatever, he has one of those, he said.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, I'm going online to get me a hat and one of those.
Got to get you a hat. I got two questions for you, Blair. We haven't talked in a while. So the Red Sox are 6.5 games out of the wild card. Are they done, in your opinion? Done? Yes? Done? All over?
I don't see it happening. What I'm doing is I'm following the Mets, and I'm not following them this season as much.
Steven
I'm
baseball.
Going for the Mets. So I got one thing for you real quick.
What do you got, Blair?
Let's go Mets! Let's go Mets!
That's the end. That's it right there. I get the full PM and AM Jab lineup story. I mean, he comes on Sports Radio WEI promoting the Jab, and he does it all the time. It's all right. He's a good guy. And did he call me his best friend to start the call?
Yeah, you're his best buddy.
I'm his best friend. That's great. I need a new best friend in my life. So Blair, that you're a welcome addition into my life. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We come back. I want to continue this conversation. WWE, the XFL, is there room in Boston for this sort of a venture here? Because, again, I have a feeling that what you heard Triple H say a moment ago is right. I feel like he learned. Vince McMahon learned he's a great businessman. If nothing else, the guy knows how to make money, and he knows how to make things successful. He knows how to build a brand. It didn't happen for him in 2001 when he launched the XFL. But people like Vince McMahon, they're successful because they learn from their mistakes. And he waited nearly 20 years to resurrect this thing and bring it back. But with the advent of social media, the advent of Twitter, the advent of Facebook, the advent of digitally being able to cut cable out of the picture and watch things, stream things on your tablet, on your phone, mobily, wherever you are. And the ability to get people excited using other mediums other than television, those things really didn't exist back in 2001. And if they did exist, they were in their absolute infancy. So I feel like the opportunity is there for Vince McMahon to make this thing successful. But will people like you, will Bostonians, will people from all over New England, if the XFL were to expand and bring a team here, would you be able to support a team knowing that the best of the best is playing at Foxborough and you're watching secondary talent play, I don't know, West Roxbury, or you're watching him play in South Boston or over the waterfront, wherever it may be. Maybe it's in Rhode Island. Maybe it's in Maine. Maybe it's in New Hampshire. But you're watching your New England team knowing that they are not the best of the best. Could you get behind that? Or have we been so spoiled by the Patriots that it would ruin anything that a minor league type of organization that the XFL might bring here, would it ruin it for us before the football even began? So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937.
It's more of Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio, WEI.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. As tonight, we'll make our way together up until 1 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And the Patriots game is now over. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit in the 11 o'clock hour. They win just a boring exhibition game, essentially, but they come away winners, so they're now, 3-0 on the preseason. Does it matter? Does it not really matter? I mean, to me, as long as they all come away relatively healthy, then it's a success. Tom Brady's got a ridiculous hat on right now doing his post-game presser, so we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But again, Brady was pretty good tonight, 8 of 12, 75 yards. He actually ran with the football a little bit, which is always dangerous, especially in a game that is meaningless, but he's got something to prove. So we'll talk about this coming up in a little while on the program. Until then, we'll take your phone calls at 617-779-7937 as we sit here and we watch four exhibition football games that don't count at all. What would be more exciting to you guys? A regular season XFL game if you had a team here in Boston, or a preseason exhibition meaningless NFL game? Is there an appetite for the XFL here in New England? So we're talking about that with you guys as the XFL made all their big announcements this week. They unveiled all their team logos for the eight teams that will participate in its, I want to call it its inaugural season, but it's really not, in its reboot season that kicks off just after the Super Bowl coming up in February. So we're talking about that at 617-779-7937. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Keith. Keith is on the Cape. Keith, you're next up here on WEI.
How are you doing, gentlemen? Are we doing good over there?
What's up, Keith?
So I just wanted to go over you asking about WWE and how it's set up. So the outcomes of the matches are predetermined, sometimes the night of or weeks in advance. What the wrestlers allowed to do in the match is determined between them. There's usually one guy that's been there longer that kind of talks with the whoever they're going to wrestle with and tells them on what lines they're doing, how long the match is going to last for, who's going to have, in what move sets and how it's going to happen. It is considered fake, not that wrestling fans like to hear that word, but the outcomes are set up. Sometimes they change at events or things like that. It's not even really called wrestling anymore for the WWE.
So Keith, hold on. So the outcomes of the matches are predetermined going into the match, but is the physicality, the athleticism, the injuries, is all that stuff real?
Yes. I've been watching wrestling for 20 years. I'm now 34. I tried training for it when I was like 16, 17, 18, 19. Learning to do that stuff in the ring is 100% real. All the injuries are real. What can happen in there is real. I remember specifically 2 weeks when I was learning, trying to do that. My body was sore, like head to toe. Running the ropes, just doing backdrops, just learning the basics of how to do what they do in the ring, it's 100% real. The injuries that occur, the toll that it takes on the body is a lot. I ended up having too many concussions through regular sports and then also trying to do that, so I kind of had to stop it. Outcomes are set up.
So you're 34. I'm 39. I'm fascinated by this. So I got one more question for you. So last time I went to a wrestling event, I was there to cover it for a media outlet. It was in Boston. It was 2 years ago. And the Garden was legit electric. It was packed. There was standing room only, essentially. It reminded me of the same atmosphere that you would get for a Celtics playoff game or a Bruins playoff game. It was that electric for this wrestling event is what I'll call it, because they only come a couple of times a year. But when I looked around, there were some kids there. There were some, but, you know, I'm talking about 10-year-olds with their dads. But I'm going to say the majority of the crowd was north of 16 years old. So they were 16 to 40, I'll say. Is that the norm? Like, are adults into this?
It is. So I'm 34, I'm 39. So we grew up in the best, in my opinion, the best era of wrestling, which was the Attitude Era. It's still, I mean, a little bit before for you, you know, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat, Sergeant Slaughter, Bret Hart. And then you go to my area, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, The Rock. It was known as the Attitude Era, basically from 1997 to 2001. So anybody that watched it at that point in time, which would say me or you, would get their kids into it. And yes, it was aimed more towards kids for the past 5 to 7 years. We're trying to get more towards, you know, adult, TV 14, because they're moving the SmackDown wrestling to the Fox network. And from what I've read and what I've seen, they kind of want it a little bit more edgier, more like a TV 14 program than it would be PG, because that's what Fox wanted. And then they just made that announcement of the NXT brand going live on the USA Network to counter another promotion, which is AEW, which is another wrestling company that is coming up, kind of how it was with us growing up, WWF at the time, and then WCW.
Yep.
Now there's another company coming in, so they're making change, the WWE is making changes to try and counter this other company. So they're making their stuff a little bit more edgier. They have guys that used to, you know, Eric Bischoff, who ran WCW back in the day, you know, through their storylines, is now helping them write stuff for SmackDown. And then, you know, a guy named Paul Heyman, who's with Brock Lesnar, you know, as in a character form, but also behind the scenes, also has lots to say on the Raw, you know, writing and scripts, and they're trying to change things up because, you know, they have real competition now. I could talk about this.
No, it's interesting, Keith. No, I appreciate the phone call, and it's interesting because I've never been into it. As a kid, I wasn't into it. Certainly as an adult, I'm not into it. My son isn't into it, but I know people are. But the one thing I know is that Vince McMahon has made it a wild success. I mean, successful beyond anybody's expectations way back in the day. And he's done that through a combination of things. He's done it because he's got, you know, world-class athletes, it looks like, but he's also got world-class entertainers. And when you combine those two and you have world-class entertainers and world-class athletes and the two work hand-in-hand, I feel like he can be successful, which is why I feel like there is a formula for success in the XFL. I feel like because he's going to have world-class athletes, the question is, can they become world-class athletes and entertainers? Can they create brands for themselves? And the only way to do that, by the way, is if the fans get into it. Meaning, if there's a quarterback in the XFL that wasn't successful in the NFL, wasn't talented enough to make it in the NFL. Let's say it's Tim Tebow. Let's say it's Johnny Manziel, because these guys have name recognition right away from day one. I mean, if the XFL was ever able to bring one of those guys in, or both of them, and Colin Kaepernick, you've got eight teams right now. If the XFL wants to be successful, don't they have to open up their wallet and say, okay, Tebow, how much money is it going to take? All right, Johnny, how much money is it going to take? And Colin, how much money is it going to take? Don't they have to throw $20, $30 million a year at these guys. Because if you spend $100 million combined on those three guys, nearly half of your teams have got a recognizable guy at quarterback. So the most important, most marketable position on the field now has a recognizable face that has already got a brand and brand recognition. Can you imagine the media storm that happens if you have Colin Kaepernick starting for the New York franchise? Can you imagine the media storm that happens if you have Tim Tebow or if you have Johnny Manziel? Plus, you've got reclamation projects. You've got great stories to tell with all three of those guys for three different reasons, right? You got Johnny Manziel trying to come back from being the Johnny Football caricature of himself, a guy that drank too much, beat his girlfriend, did too many drugs, never lived up to the expectations, never lived up to the hype. So that's a great comeback story if they're able to capture it. You have Tim Tebow, never giving up on the dream of playing football. Had his shot with the Broncos, led them to the playoffs. We all know the story. Was out of the league a couple years later. You know, latched on to his baseball dream while becoming a TV personality, never giving up on his football dream. Great story to tell. Very marketable. If the same people that run the WWE are running the XFL, isn't the story just a huge part of it? So you could tell a great story there. And, of course, the Colin Kaepernick story, you know, he'd be more divisive, but you could certainly create a great story around him as well. And now that's three quarterbacks for eight teams. So nearly 50% of your league has got somebody that's got star power and is marketable right away. Isn't that the only path to real success for the XFL? Or would people like you, people like me, the general fan base out there, if you had a team here in Boston, if you had a team here in New England that didn't have any recognizable faces, that didn't have any recognizable players, didn't have somebody that we're familiar with from his days of starring in the NFL, didn't have somebody that was, a two-sport athlete trying to make it, so somebody that, say, plays for the Red Sox trying to make it in the XFL. If you didn't have a gimmicky player, if you didn't have a guy with star recognition, and it was just pretty good football from February through early summer, would that be enough to get you guys interested? Because I'm telling you right now, I feel like Vince McMahon is going to make this thing successful. He didn't become the billionaire that he is by making multiple mistakes over and over and over again. So he bided his time and he waited for the right moment, and he waited nearly two decades to resurrect this brand. And with eight teams out there, I feel like Boston got the schneid. I feel like Boston got screwed a little bit. I mean, you got teams in what? You got two teams in Texas, by the way. So Texas gets a double shot at the XFL. You got the St. Louis Battlehawks, the Tampa Bay Vipers, the Seattle Dragons, and the DC Defenders, right? So you got eight teams there spread out nicely throughout the country. But I feel like New England should be represented in the XFL. We've had the most successful football franchise in the last 20 years here in New England. The fan base certainly comes out for the Patriots. And there is certainly got to be a huge number of you guys that are football fans first that would support the Patriots, whether they were a winning franchise or a losing franchise. We've been there before with the Patriots, and hell, unfortunately, we know we'll probably be there again at some point in the not-so-distant future. But the real football fans are going to support your team win, lose, or draw. When the Celtics were a joke for the majority of my young adult life or the majority of my childhood, let's see, at 39 years old, they won a championship in 86, made the finals in 87. By the early 90s, the Big Three was retiring. Reggie Lewis had died. And we entered the Dino Raja, Sherman Douglas, Kevin Gamble era of Celtics basketball. The Purvis Ellison, Xavier McDaniel, Todd Day, Blue Edwards era of Celtics basketball. And there were still people supporting the team, banging out the garden. Right? Banging out the garden. 15,000 people, 16,000 people. Now, did they lower ticket prices for a while? Yeah, they did. They had $10 tickets. Were they giving away some seats? Sure were. Was the demand there then like it is now? No, of course not. But the Celtics still drew a decent rating on TV, and they still could count on a minimum of 15,000 people at the Garden on a night-in and night-out basis, because we are basketball fans. Same thing with the Bruins. We support our local teams here in Boston. We do. Now, is it the same when they're losing versus when they're winning? No. But we still have our core group of hardcore fans that are going to be there supporting our teams, whether they're great or whether they suck, because we can't always count on greatness. So because of that, because we are that addicted to our teams and that addicted to our sports, that addicted to our franchises, I feel like if we gave it a fair chance, if the XFL expanded here to Boston, I feel like we could make it work. I feel like this fan base, when I'm looking at Dallas and Houston and L.A. and New York and St. Louis and Tampa Bay, Seattle, D.C. I mean, you can cross St. Louis off the list, cross Tampa Bay. You can even cross L.A. off the list because they're a bunch of, you know, pretty boy, show up late, leave early type of fans. You could take three or four of these markets, and I'll say you would have been better supported and more likely to find overwhelming success if you replaced one of those franchises with a franchise here in New England. And I would be excited about it. I would be one of the early adopters, one of the people that said, you know, I have a family of four. I like to take them to a Patriots game, but it costs a small fortune. So I can only do it once every other season. Maybe it's because I spend way too much money taking them to a dozen Celtics games, but that's my problem, not yours. Right? But I feel like there's room there. And especially after looking at what happened at Fenway Park today, during the makeup game, the 12-minute experience, whether that game went 12 minutes or whether it went 12 hours, the admission was only going to be $5. Kids were going to get in free and hot dogs were a buck. You're going to see some of that stuff in the XFL. You're going to see some of those minor league baseball type of promotions in the XFL. And for a guy that's got a family of four that likes football, I would absolutely, without a doubt, 1,000% take my kids to experience a football game like that. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. When we come back, we'll continue some of this XFL discussion. So if you got thoughts on that, by all means, we'll continue this discussion. Want to work in some Patriots stuff as they just wrapped up game three of their preseason. And also, you know what today is? Today we are officially 1 month away from the Celtics opening training camp. That's a big day for me. We'll start to preview the Celtics as well when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.